Welcome to Zichu Daf Sin Money. I'm Rabbi Avram Goldhar, and here with Zechus Baba Metzia, Daf Yud Zayin, the first parak, Shnayim Ochsin. This parak has been dedicated to the memory of Mr. Moshe Horn, Rav Moshe Manas ben Yaakov Yitzchak, by his children, Dvorah and Dov Elias. May his neshama have an aliyah. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, Rabbi Yochanan said that if a lender tells a debtor, "You owe me almana," which the debtor completely denies, and then Edim testify that he did borrow, v'chazva amar parati, and he subsequently said, "I paid the debt afterwards," he's established as a liar regarding that money since he was caught lying about it and is not believed that he paid without presenting Edim. Rabbi Yochanan also said that if someone is obligated to swear a shavua to his fellow and claims he already swore, but Edim testified that he refused to swear when the claimant demanded he swear, he's established as a liar regarding the shavua and is not believed. The Gemara adds that this is only for a shavua obligated by basin, but if one committed to swear to someone and later refused, he would be believed to later say he swore because a person occasionally refused to do what basin did not require him to do, and it does not indicate a retraction of his commitment. Point number two, Rabbi Yochanan said that if someone finds a shtar which is certified, and the date written in it is that very day, he should return it to the owner. The loan was definitely issued since it's certified. We're not concerned about payment on the very day the debt was issued, which is very unlikely. Rabbi Zera asked that this contradicts Rabbi Yochanan's ruling that a shtar whose loan was repaid cannot be used for another loan because the lien in the shtar ended. The date of the shtar must be that day, otherwise it would be invalid anyway as mukdam, predated. This case of a paid shtar proves that a loan is sometimes paid on the first day. Rabbi Yossi replied that it's very rare, but Rabbi Yochanan discussed a case where it occurred. Rav Kahana said that Rabbi Yochanan only allowed the shtar dated that day, k'shechayav moda, where the debtor admits it was not paid. Otherwise, we would consider the possibility of payment. Although one may have thought he falsely admitted in order to illegally reuse the shtar, the admission is assumed to be authentic, as the Gemara explains. And point number three, Rabbi Yochanan said, "Aton achar maisa basin." If someone claims he paid an obligation imposed by an act of basin, such as a ksuba and feeding one's wife and daughters, lomar klum, he has said nothing and is not believed. He explains that anyone claiming an obligation imposed by basin is kaman denakad shtar biyadidam, like one holding a document recording the obligation in his hand. Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba asked Rabbi Yochanan that this ruling was unnecessary because it can be demonstrated from a mission which teaches that a divorced woman who presents her get but not her ksuba can collect her ksuba and the husband cannot claim he paid it. Rabbi Yochanan replied, "If I had not lifted up the shard, you would not have discovered the pearl underneath it." Although Abai attempted to deflect the proof, suggesting that the Mishnah's case is a locale which does not write ksubos, but elsewhere he can claim it was paid if the ksuba is not presented, but he later retracted. So once again, the three points are, number one, Rabbi Yochanan said that if a lender tells a debtor, "You owe me a mana," which the debtor completely denies, and then Edim testified that he did borrow, v'chazava amar parati, and he subsequently said, "I paid the debt afterwards," he's established as a liar regarding that money since he was caught lying about it and is not believed that he paid without presenting Edim. Rabbi Yochanan also said that if someone is obligated to swear a shavua to his fellow and claims he already swore, but Edim testified that he refused to swear when the claimant demanded he swear, he's established as a liar regarding the shavua and is not believed. The Gemara adds that this is only for a shavua obligated by basin, but if one committed to swear to someone and later refused, he would be believed to later say he swore because a person occasionally refused to do what basin did not require him to do, and it does not indicate a retraction of his commitment. Point number two, Rabbi Yochanan said that if someone finds a shtar which is certified, and the date written in it is that very day, he should return it to the owner. The loan was definitely issued since it's certified. We're not concerned about payment on the very day the debt was issued, which is very unlikely. Rabbi Zera asked that this contradicts Rabbi Yochanan's ruling that a shtar whose loan was repaid cannot be used for another loan because the lien in the shtar ended. The date of the shtar must be that day, otherwise it would be invalid anyway as mukdam, predated. This case of a paid shtar proves that a loan is sometimes paid on the first day. Rabbi Yossi replied that it's very rare, but Rabbi Yochanan discussed a case where it occurred. Rav Kahana said that Rabbi Yochanan only allowed the shtar dated that day, k'shechayav moda, where the debtor admits it was not paid. Otherwise, we would consider the possibility of payment. Although one may have thought he falsely admitted in order to illegally reuse the shtar, the admission is assumed to be authentic, as the Gemara explains. And point number three, Rabbi Yochanan said, "Aton achar maisa basin." If someone claims he paid an obligation imposed by an act of basin, such as a ksuba and feeding one's wife and daughters, lomar klum, he has said nothing and is not believed. He explains that anyone claiming an obligation imposed by Basin is kamanda nakachtar biyadidam, like one holding a document recording the obligation in his hand. Rabbi Chiya bar Abba asked Rabbi Yochanan that this ruling was unnecessary because it can be demonstrated from a mission which teaches that a divorced woman who presents her get but not her ksuba can collect her ksuba and the husband cannot claim he paid it. Rabbi Yochanan replied, if I had not lifted up the shard, you would not have discovered the pearl underneath it. Although Abai attempted to deflect the proof, suggesting that the Mishnah's case is a locale which does not write ksubos, but elsewhere he can claim it was paid if the ksuba is not presented, but he later retracted. All right, so now we go to Siman Daf Yud Zayin, and our standard Siman is a used car salesman. So here goes. The used car salesman from Huchasak Kafran Motors, who was upset when a shtar for a loan he took out that day was found and returned to the lender, was also not believed when he claimed he paid his wife's ksuba and was told he had said nothing since a ksuba is a maisa basin. So once again, slow motion. The used car salesman, that must mean we're on Daf Yud Zayin. The used car salesman from Huchasak Kafran Motors, which reminds us, Rabbi Yochanan said that if a lender tells a debtor, you owe me a mana, which the debtor completely denies, and then aid him testify that he did borrow, v'chazav v'amar parati, and he subsequently said, I paid the debt afterwards, Huchasak Kafran owes some mammon. He's established as a liar regarding that money since he was caught lying about it and is not believed that he paid without presenting aid him. So the used car salesman from Huchasak Kafran Motors, who was upset when a shtar for a loan he took out that day, was found and returned to the lender, which reminds us, Rabbi Yochanan said that if someone finds a shtar which is certified, and the date written in it is that very day, he should return it to the owner. The loan was definitely issued since it's certified. As far as possible payment, we're not concerned about payment on the very day the debt was issued, which is very unlikely. So the used car salesman from Huchasak Kafran Motors, who was upset when a shtar for a loan he took out that day was found and returned to the lender, was also not believed when he claimed he paid his wife's ksuba and was told he has said nothing since a ksuba is a maisa basin, which reminds us, Rabbi Yochanan said, "Aton achar maisa basin." If someone claims he paid an obligation imposed by an act of basin, such as a ksuba and feeding one's wife and daughters, lo amar kum, he has said nothing and is not believed. He explains that anyone claiming an obligation imposed by basin is kamanda nakishtar biyadidam, like one holding a document recording the obligation in his hand. So once again, the used car salesman from Huchasak Kafran Motors, who was upset when a shtar for a loan he took out that day was found and returned to the lender, was also not believed when he claimed he paid his wife's ksuba and was told he has said nothing since a ksuba is a maisa basin. All right, so now it's time for 4 blah blah chazar. Daf Yud Gimel, so the simmer Daf Yud Gimel is a bar mitzvah boy. So here goes. The bar mitzvah boy, that must mean we're on Daf Yud Gimel. The bar mitzvah boy who had been excited to sign as an aide for the very first time on a shtar, since witnesses' signatures on a shtar acquire a lien for the lender even before the loan, which reminds us, the Gemara asks why a loan document may be written for a potential borrower before the loan is issued, since they may collect from purchasers' properties from the date in the shtar earlier than the actual loan date. Rav Asi says only shtar hakna, documents of acquisition, may be written beforehand because the lien actually begins immediately even if the loan is never issued. Abaye answers, Eidu b'chasum of Zachinlo. The witnesses with their signatures acquire a lien for the lender at the time of signing, even before the loan. The Gemara clarifies, this principle only applies where the shtar reached the recipient's hand, whereby the transaction takes effect retroactively from signing. If the shtar was never given, its transaction does not take effect. So the bar mitzvah boy who had been excited to sign as an aide for the very first time on a shtar, since witnesses' signatures on a shtar acquire a lien for the lender even before the loan, overheard a lobe and malva collude to collect from a buyer of land even after the debt was paid and split the gain. Which reminds us, a buyer could explain the reason a shtar with a property lien is not returned is the chayshu perion v'kanunya, where it merits concern about possible payment and collusion. Perhaps the loan was actually paid up and the debtor received and later lost the shtar. He may be falsely admitting that the debt is unpaid as a conspiracy with a creditor to collect the debt from buyers who purchased without a compensation guarantee against collection, which the conspirators will later divide between themselves. So the bar mitzvah boy who had been excited to sign as an aide for the very first time on a shtar, since witnesses' signatures on a shtar require a lien from the lender even before the loan, overheard a lobe and malva collude to collect from a buyer of land even after the debt was paid and split the gain. Just as two rabbis walked by who both held Ein Choshesh L'Perion L'Kanunya, which reminds us, the Gemara explains how Shmuel and Rabbi Elazar, who both hold that we're not concerned for Perion L'Kanunya, understand the Melchokas and the Mishmi between Rimer and the Chachamim, and how their positions are eventually disproven. So once again, the bar mitzvah boy who had been excited to sign as an aide for the very first time on a shtar, since witnesses' signatures on a shtar acquire a lien for the lender even before the loan, overheard a lobe and malva collude to collect from a buyer of land even after the debt was paid and split the gain.
just as two rabbis walked by who both held in Choshish and Leperion Vilkanunya.
Daf Yudal. So the Siman Daf Yudal is a yad, and we often use a juggler in the Siman. So here goes. The expert juggler, that must be on Daf Yudal, yad, hand. The expert juggler who is so good that he distracted his sofer who forgot to write a chrys and a shtar for a loan, which reminds us the brights in the previous stuff taught that the rabbanon hold that even a shtar without a shibud may still be collected from sold properties. Shmuel explains that they hold a chrys is tohu soferhu. A guarantee is assumed to be the scribe's mistake when absent from the shtar and does not indicate that there's actually no property lien. The Gemara explains that Shmuel's statement pertains to loan documents, for a person does not give money for nothing, meaning since he does not benefit from the loan, he would not agree to lend without a guarantee. A payment. So the expert juggler, who was so good that he distracted a sofer who forgot to write a chrys and a shtar for a loan, was trying to cheer up a man who just purchased a field without a chrys, which people said didn't belong to the seller, and was left holding a bag of nuts, which reminds us, Abai said that if Reuven was selling a field to Shimon without a guarantee of compensation, but Yatsu Aleha Asikin and protest came forth about the land challenging Reuven's ownership, as long as Shimon has not taken possession of it nor paid for it, he can retract from the sale, which did not yet take effect. But once he took possession of it, the sale takes effect and he cannot retract, because Reuven can tell him, you were aware of and accepted a bag of nuts, meaning you agreed to purchase it without a guarantee. So the expert juggler, who was so good that he distracted his sofer who forgot to write a chrys and a shtar for a loan, was trying to cheer up a man who just purchased a field without a chrys, which people said didn't belong to the seller, and was left holding a bag of nuts. And a buyer trying unsuccessfully to get compensated for the improvements he made in some land, which the seller did not own. Which reminds us, the Gemara says, a mocher sado lechavero, v'nimse she'eno shalot, one sells a field, and it's discovered that it was not his, and its owner retakes the field. Rav says, yesh lo malus, the purchaser has a right to compensation from the seller for the money paid for the field, v'yeshul shevach, and he's a right to compensation from him for improvements he made to the field. Shmuel says, malus yeshul shevach englo, he has a right to compensation for money paid, but he does not have a right for compensation for his improvements. Rav Huna was asked, if the seller explicitly told him he would compensate him for the improvements, what's the halacha? The Gemara concludes that Shmuel's reason is, because there was no actual sale, since the field didn't belong to him, the money paid is a loan, and if the buyer collects more than he gave, mechzik ribis, it appears like receiving interest on the loan. So once again, the expert juggler, who is so good that he distracted a sofer who forgot to write a chrys and a shtar for a loan, was trying to cheer up a man who just purchased a field without a chrys, which people said didn't belong to the seller, and was left holding a bag of nuts. And a buyer trying unsuccessfully to get compensated for the improvements he made in some land, which the seller did not own. Daf Tezvav. So the Siman Daf Tezvav is a fruit bowl because it relates to Tu B'Shvat. So here goes. The seller's Baal Chov, who was so delighted that he didn't have to pay for the improvements to a field he collected that the buyer made, that he placed fruit bowls all over it. Fruit bowls, that must be on Daf Tezvav, Tu B'Shvat. The seller's Baal Chov, who was so delighted that he didn't have to pay for the improvements to a field he collected that the buyer made, that he placed fruit bowls all over it, which reminds us, Shmuel said, Baal Chov goves ha-shevach. The seller's creditor collects the improvements the buyer made to the land and does not pay for them. Rava demonstrates this from the fact that the seller initially writes that he accepts to compensate the buyer for any loss of the field, his expenditures in the field, and its improvements. Because the buyer will be compensated for the improvements, the creditor can collect them without paying for them. Rava says regarding a gift where there is no guarantee given, the Baal Chov would not get the improvements. So the seller's Baal Chov, who was so delighted they didn't have to pay for the improvements to a field he collected that the buyer made, that he placed fruit bowls all over it, wondered why someone bought the neighbor's property knowing the seller didn't own it, which reminds us, the Gemara says that if the buyer recognized that the property was not the seller's, Rav says, Maoz Yesho Shevach Engel, he has a right to demand the money paid for the property, but does not have a right to compensation for improvements he made in the field. Shmuel says, Afil Maoz Engel, he does not even have the right to demand the money he paid for it. Rav holds the buyer knows the sale is ineffective and he gave the money to be a pikadon by the seller. He didn't say so explicitly because he thought the seller would not agree to guard it. Shmuel holds that because the buyer knows the sale is ineffective, we assume he gave the money as a matana to the seller without saying so explicitly because he thought the seller would not accept it. So the seller's Baal Chov, who was so delighted that he didn't have to pay for the improvements to a field he collected that the buyer made, that he placed fruit bowls all over it, wondered why someone bought the neighbor's property knowing the seller didn't own it, and then why the deceitful seller came and purchased the field from the original owner, which reminds us, Shmuel asked, if the Gazlan, after selling, so to speak, the field, came back and purchased it from its original owner, what is the lachi? Can he take possession of the land from the purchaser, just like the legitimate owner could have done? He replied, what did the Gazlan sell to the buyer? kol zchus shetavu liyado, any right which will come into his possession. His subsequent purchase of the property was intended to obtain it for the purchaser. Two reasons are given. One, he doesn't want the buyer to call him a robber for selling him stolen land, or he wants to keep his credibility. Daf Tet Zayin, so the Simur Daf Tet Zayin is toes, and we often use an acrobat with large toes. So here goes. The acrobat with large toes. Acrobat with large toes? That must be on Daf Tet Zayin. The acrobat with large toes swinging on his trapeze, who told his fraudulent seller that he trusts he'll obtain the land for him which he had purchased, which reminds us, Rav had ruled that if a Gazlan bought property after selling it to someone, we assume he bought it for the buyer and cannot retain it. Rami Bar Chama asked, how did the buyer acquire this land since the original bill of sale was ineffective? Rava answered, let this ruling be where the buyer tells the robber he trusts him to obtain the land. In exchange for the hana, the robber receives that the purchaser did not confront him for the fraudulent sale, but trusts him to work to obtain the land for him. The Gazlan commits to transfer its ownership to him. The Ran explains that this benefit is tantamount to receiving money. So the acrobat with large toes swinging on his trapeze, who told its fraudulent seller that he trusts he'll obtain the land for him which he had purchased, was approached by another acrobat who told him that a specific field he will buy to put a trapeze on will be transferred to him retroactively, which reminds us, Rav said that if one says, the field which I'm going to buy is transferred to you when I purchase it, may aksham, retroactively, the recipient requires it when the giver buys it. Rava said this is logical beside the stump with an unspecified field because the recipient is confident he'll find a field to purchase. But beside a zoo with this specific field, it would not logically apply because the recipient lacks confidence the giver will obtain it. Who says the owner will sell it to him? However, Rava swore that Rava applied his ruling even regarding a specific field. So the acrobat with large toes swinging on his trapeze, who told his fraudulent seller that he trusts he'll obtain the land for him, which he had purchased, was approached by another acrobat who told him that a specific field he'll buy to put a trapeze on will be transferred to him retroactively. After a shtar hakna that was found in the shuk was returned to him as the lender, since if it had been paid, the debtor would have ripped it up, which reminds us, Shmuel said, Hamosi shtar hakna b'shuk, if one finds a document of acquisition in the street, meaning a shtar which creates a debt, even if a loan is never issued, yachzir l'balim, he should return it to its owner. There's no concern the loan was not issued, since he obligated himself regardless, although he may have paid the debt. Shmuel holds, l'chashim l'pirion, we're not concerned about possible payment, because if he had paid, he would have torn the shtar, and it would not have been found intact. All right, so now it's time to conclude their pop quiz of 10 questions. Number one, which stuff do we learn that Shmuel holds that a lost shtar hakana can be returned to the lender? Because if it was the debtors, he would have ripped it up. That's on Daf Tet Zayin. Good. Number two, which stuff do we learn that the Eidim with their signatures acquire a lien for the lender at the time of signing, even before the loan? That's on Daf Yod Gimel. Good. Number three, which stuff do we learn Achrayis Tohu Sofer Hu? That's on Daf Yadar. Good. Number four, which stuff do we learn that one can return a shtar to its owner that was written that day? That's on Daf Yud Zayin. Good. Number five, which stuff do we learn Rav Papa explains Rabbi Yeshua can acquire the Maaser Rishon from a Gamliel's field via Das Acheres Makna Osan? That's on Daf Yadav. Good. Number six, which stuff do we discuss? Who is a Chutzla Kafran? That's on Daf Yud Zayin. Good. Number seven, which stuff do Malkokes about returning found loan documents when the debtor admits? That's on Daf Yud Beis. Good. Number eight, which stuff do you learn? Atona Chamaisa Beis and Lomar Klum. If someone claims he paid an obligation imposed by an active Beis and he has said nothing and is not believed, that's on Daf Yud Zayin. Good. Number nine, which stuff do you learn? Balchov Govez HaShavach. That's on Daf Tezvav. Good. Number 10, which stuff do we discuss whether one can say he's going to buy a specific field that will retroactively transfer to someone else? That's on Daf Tet Zayin. Excellent. That concludes today's shir. This is Rabbi Ram Goldhar from Zichu, wishing you a great day and great learning.